In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, find acceptance in the sight of God, who is our rock and our redeemer. And may we all trust the message much more than the messenger, today and every day, that the word of God would speak to each and every one of us. Amen. Well, when I was in college, my mother, who has the most beautiful and intricate handwriting, it still amazes me when she writes me cards today. She wrote me these long, wonderful letters. Now, most of y'all in here look like you can remember letters in the snail mail, but some of you may not know that there was no such thing as email. Didn't exist. You couldn't text a picture. So if I wanted a picture of what my sister looked like, who lived almost 1,000 miles away, my mom had to send me an actual photograph. My dad was good at sending me news clippings from the newspaper. But my mom would write me these long, wonderful letters, heartfelt things, full of advice, news about how she was doing, how my sister was doing, how my grandmother was, etc. They almost always ended with, I think they probably always ended with, the words, "And Christopher, remember to pray, and remember to read your Bible every now and then. It's important." So I get these letters from my mother in this beautiful handwriting. She spent a lot of time on this. I mean, they went on for pages with an exhortation to pray and read my Bible. So I decided, very brave decision, that I didn't want to lie to her. That if she asked me, "Are you reading your Bible?" I wanted to say, "Yes, I am reading my Bible." But I was busy. I was on the football team. I sang in the college choir. I was in student government. Say nothing of all the classes I was taking. So I needed to find some scripture that was manageable. I mean, I needed to do it, but I didn't want to give too much time to it. I remembered the Psalms, that we read those a lot in church, and I think I remembered somehow there were a lot of them. It turns out there's 150 of them, and that left a lot of material to choose from. Most often, though, I picked two Psalms, two of the 150, Psalm 67, and Psalm 16. Now, why those two? Well, the answer is pretty obvious. The first is, I played 8 years of football, like on a real team. Football captain, like football team. That's what I was. And I wore the number 67 for all 8 years. From the start of high school to the end of the college, till the NCAA said, "You can't play anymore. You have no more eligibility." And I picked number 16 because that was my girlfriend's soccer number. You see, this makes sense if you think about it. Even though, if we're being honest, it's probably not the most mature way to approach the problem. Let's just admit that. I could have approached that in a very different way. But that's how I approached it. And little did I know of the impact that those two Psalms would have on my life. Even as a very young man at the age of 19 or 20, those Psalms, those two, 67 and 16, taught me how to love the Psalms. I read the Psalms. I pray the Psalms. I meditate upon them. They are my go-to place when my faith is wobbly and my confidence is shaken and my patience is short. And that happens pretty regularly. I love 1, 8, 16, 19, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 30, 33, 46, 51, 67, 90, 91, 121. And I could go on and on. The staff makes fun of me. I say, "This week we're talking about my favorite psalm." And they all come back with, "They're all your favorite psalm." Every time that I say that. Martin Luther, the great reformer, once said that the Psalms were like a small Bible in and of themselves, and I think he was right. In the first lesson I teach to our new residents, like Ann Gallagher, when they start with us at White Memorial, is this lesson: when in doubt, go with the psalm. If you don't know what to preach, if you don't know what to pray, if you don't know what to do in your own devotional life, just go with the psalm. Remember that, Ann Gallagher. When in doubt, go with the psalm. Now, here's what's even better. In choosing my girlfriend's soccer numbers, number 16, the providence of God led me to a real treasure. I have used Psalm 16 more than any other scripture in 22 years of ministry. I don't preach it very often, no, but I pray it all the time. I look at it at least every week or 10 days, it seems like. And I use it in 90% of the graveside funeral services that I do, whether it's in a cemetery, in this sanctuary, in a memorial garden, a columbaria, wherever. I use Psalm 16 all the time. I've used it in more services of worship that I've written, the liturgy we write, the prayers that we pray, than anything else these two decades. And I submit to you today that if you want proof that God can take flimsy faith that is standing on flint ice before it drowns in the cold water, just look at my story. A 19-year-old kid sitting in a dorm room not wanting to lie to his mama, so he picked the shortest scriptures that he could possibly find, and he also found a way to impress his girlfriend through the selection of the scripture that he made. And if you doubt that God can take flimsy faith like that and turn it into a wonderful blessing, then look at my relationship with this psalm. I chose it for the worst and dumbest of reasons, and I've shared it with thousands of people in their greatest hour of need. Can God take the size of a faith the size of a mustard seed and turn it into something great? That's what Jesus says. Well, I'm proof that God can take the size of a petite woman's soccer jersey, faith that size, and turn it into something bigger than that young man could have ever imagined. Furthermore, y'all cannot imagine my surprise when I got to seminary and one of the professors was teaching Psalm 16 and they used the works of James Mays. James Mays, during his lifetime, was the finest scholar of the Psalms in the entire Western Hemisphere, and he wrote extensively about Psalm 16, and what he writes begins with this, quote, "Psalm 16 is a prayer of universal proportions." As I studied the psalm, I discovered that it is one of six out of 150 psalms that is called a mitkam of David. That's what the Hebrew scripture tells us. Mitkam means prayer or writing. And there's only six of 150. That's about 4%. That means it's in the 96th percentile in terms of its exclusiveness. Mitkam means prayer or writing, which means that either David or somebody at his court wrote it, or at least that the King David of Israel thought this psalm was really special. I discovered also that it is the inspiration behind the American gospel hymn, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." I bet you've heard that before. It was sung all over the world by the indomitable Mahalia Jackson. "Precious Lord, take my hand, help me stand, keep me strong." I mean, that's what the hymn's about. Psalm 16, "For the Lord my God is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved." She most famously sang that hymn at the funeral of Martin Luther King Jr. And if you ever go to the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, which you should do if you haven't, you should make that trip. Atlanta's great anyway, but that's one of the best parts of Atlanta. When you go into the sanctuary of that church, that song, Mahalia Jackson's "Precious Lord," at his funeral, it's on repeat. It's on loop, as it should be. I mean, this often overlooked psalm shows up in the preaching of Peter in Acts chapter 2 and in the preaching of Paul in Acts chapter 13. Who were Peter and Paul? Well, they were the two great apostles, the two great preachers of the early church. And they both reference Psalm 16, verses 10 and 11, where it says, "You do not give me up to Sheol." Sheol was the place of death. It says, "God, you show me the path of life." I mean, Peter and Paul, who knew Jesus as personally as any two people could have ever known Jesus, saw the plan of God in the 16th Psalm. They saw the grace of Jesus expressed in the 16th Psalm in the words of the psalmist. This is part of the reason, at least part of the reason, why I use it for funerals and graveside services. The Texas theologian Thomas Curry says that Psalm 16 is, quote, "a masterpiece of writing." And in my many years of study, I can't agree more. I mean, it almost happens without us noticing it. It's like that music that's playing while you're watching the movie, and maybe you're focused on the images, but you're aware the music is there, and it's enhancing the experience. I mean, it's like that light on a late fall morning, the way the colors are picked up. Or maybe it's like this. Maybe it's like the light of a winter dawn like think January or so, and it's not so bright that it lights everything up, but it lights everything up where you can see it, even though sometimes you can't see the sun because they're still behind the trees, low in the southern sky. It's bright enough where you can see, but it doesn't make you squint. Yeah, Psalm 16's like that. It lights up everything. It lights up everything as it shows up over and over again in the theology and tradition of our church. It lights up everything as it adds color and depth to who we are as Christian people. Yeah, James Mays was right. Psalm 16 is a prayer of universal proportions. And maybe, just maybe, one of the things that makes it universal is the fact that it's so personal. Verse 1 is a prayer that I suspect every living person has prayed. You remember the first verse? Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. You ever prayed, help me, God, before? Then you've probably prayed this prayer. You're close to Psalm 16. I submit that it's been prayed by every soldier who's ever gone in a battle. It's been prayed by people who've ever had an MRI or ever facing a surgery, who've ever had a first chemotherapy treatment. It's been prayed by people who are confronted with a huge life challenge over the great duty that's too big for them to shoulder on their own. It's been prayed by people who were at the cusp of something very scary or very great. Protect me, O God. God, show up. God, be my strength. God, be my refuge. God, surround me. God, help me. If you've ever prayed any version of that, then you're praying alongside of Psalm 16, verse 1. And as if that weren't enough, at verse 2, Psalm 16 gives us an equally personal confession of faith. It says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. If you've ever prayed to God, I believe in God, or you've ever prayed to God, Jesus is Lord, or you've ever said to God, I trust in you, then you're very close to Psalm 16, verse 2. If you've ever believed that God is the author of good, the giver of blessings, then you're with the psalmist here. I mean, it does it in two verses without wasting words like a squawker at the county fair or like a preacher who's in love with its own voice. Psalm 16 does in two verses what many people struggle a lifetime to do, pray its own prayer and confess its faith. It's hard to beat that. You could write a lifetime of sacred verses, and you know you can do that. You can write your own psalm. You can write your own prayers out. It's a good spiritual discipline. Everybody ought to try it as far as I'm concerned. But you could write a lifetime of your own and never top. Just those first two verses in Psalm 16. And it doesn't stop there. It gives us more. It warns us of false gods. It warns us of following sin and evil. It talks about the Lord giving us counsel. It talks about God speaking to us through dreams. If you've ever been convinced that the Lord was guiding you through a dream, you have a friend in Psalm 16. It's about keeping the power of God near at our right hand and reminding us that when we are vested in God, we have a foundation upon from which we cannot be moved. It's verse of power after power. It's verse of promise upon promise. And that's all before the end, the thundering conclusion of the psalm. God, you show us the pathway of life. In the presence of God, there is the fullest of joys. Not just some joy, but the fullest of joys. You, God, provide pleasure in your right hand forevermore. Promise upon promise for all time. Like my friend Tom Curry said, it's a masterpiece. Now, I'm preaching this psalm for two reasons. In part today, because I hope that you'll learn to love Psalm 16 as I have learned to love it. Just believe me on this, please. It's really remarkable. As Scripture goes, it's really remarkable. But I'm also focused upon this psalm today because of the verse I haven't yet mentioned. I think it's the most beautiful verse, maybe not the most powerful, but the most beautiful verse of the whole psalm. The second reason why I read it at almost every funeral or graveside service I lead. Verse 16, where it says, quote, the boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. I have a good heritage. What does that mean? It means that the writer of the psalm and us when we read it are thanking God for the heritage of faith that we have inherited and the way that God has chosen to frame our lives through the faith that we have, the people we know, the places that we live, etc. Faith gives us boundaries of community, belief, church, and life. And the God behind our faith has given us air, water, has given us an earth at which, if we care for it properly and we cultivate it smartly as good stewards, will roll throughout time and seasons and sustain life for as long as we can live. It has also given us the gift of faith that if we tend to our faith today and always, that faith will sustain us through seasons of life, seasons of gain, seasons of loss for all time. And don't believe me. You don't have to just believe my word. Go and read the Psalms. Psalm 19, one of my other favorites, even though they're all my favorite. Psalm 19 says as clear as a bell, God has given us the gifts of creation. And God has given us the gift of faith, law, and grace. And these two things are the way that God hopes to sustain life for all time. You see, our faith is our heritage from God. And the psalmist understands it, just like Jesus teaches us about it. And then Jesus gives it to the disciples who give it to the first Christians who taught it to the ancient church and so on, right to us in the 21st century. My friend in Texas makes this point better than I can when he says, quote, a part of this heritage is the book of Psalms. It belongs to all of us. It's a gift. It will pick us up and shape our lives in Christ-like ways through its singing and confessing and hoping, end quote. So as we approach Thanksgiving this year, I think it's a good time to take account for the pleasant places in our lives. What are we thankful for? Do we know? Have we shared our thanksgivings with other people? Have we shared them with God in the form of a written prayer or maybe a written psalm or the form of a word that we write down? I mean, like I said, this moment in history sure is filled with a lot of ugly. And I promise you that ugly is vying for your spiritual attention. I promise you it's trying to sap your spiritual energy. I mean, the wrong is served best when we're all divided and when we're giving our energy to discord. It just is. Right? That's unfortunately the way a lot of things are right now. So much ugly. But can we be like the writer of the Psalms, which if it was written by King David, he saw a lot of ugly in his life too, and yet he is still thankful for boundary lines and pleasant places. He's still thankful for the heritage of faith that he has inherited. Can we be like that psalmist and be thankful for the good things in life? For the heritage of faith, the faith that has claimed us and allowed us to claim it. See, whether it's at a cemetery, whether it's Sunday morning in a church, whether it's a preacher that's preaching it, whether it's in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, Psalm 16 serves as a reminder of the need in our lives to pray to God, to confess what we believe, to share in the joy about God's love and how God's love provides joy, and to give thanks for God for the pleasant places and people and graces and faith which frame and grace our lives. You see, friends, the Psalms are a source of thanksgiving and joy. And you don't have to be like me. I mean, how did I find them? I literally stumbled into them. You can't make that up. I either found them or they found me. It was serendipity. Serendipity is a happy accident. When people want to know what serendipity is, instead of defining it, I do it best to shiv them a metaphor. It's like being on a hike in the woods and you slide down a bank or you stumble down a hill that you didn't mean to stumble down and you thank God that you didn't break your ankle when you get to the bottom, and down there you think, oh goodness, how am I going to get back up there? But you look around for a second and suddenly off the path, which was a mistake that you got there, you have a happy accident and you realize that you're seeing a mountaintop Or you're seeing a forest glade that you couldn't have seen had you stayed on the trail. That's how I found the Psalms. And if you find them like that, well, then that'll be good enough. But I pray it's not the same for you. I pray that you'll take some time before Advent, Christmas, Thanksgiving, to find a favorite psalm. Be intentional about it. Where do I start, Pastor? Well, there's 150. Just pick one. And if that one doesn't work, keep looking. Your heart will choose one, or the Spirit will choose you. You'll find a favorite one. One will speak to you. And when it does, you'll be plugged into the beautiful and pleasant heritage that the psalmist wrote about in the first place. Thanks be to God, friend, that we have good and pleasant places. Thanks be to God that we have a heritage of faith and faithfulness. Thanks be to God that we've got words like Psalm 16 that tell us that God intends us to know joy and faith forever. Thanks be to God, friends, that we have a good word this day and that we have blessings to share. In the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit, we offer these things. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace to find pleasant places. And remember, we have a great heritage of faith, one that teaches us to love God and neighbor, one that reminds of us of all the things that God has done, and one that reminds us that we have been called by God, put in this world even, to follow the Lord, that we might become the people in the church that the Lord has called us to be. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.